You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
What's up, everyone? It's Matt Valdez to tell you about my friends over at SeatGeek. I got to tell you, Saturday, George Mason, Richmond Spiders. I got tickets to that game. I got them through SeatGeek. They have great deals. And with over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. And I know why. It's because they have great prices. And there are more than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, much, much more. I know Ocean's Calling is going to be down in Ocean City, and they just sold out. If I need tickets to that, I'm going to SeatGeek. SeatGeek will have it all for me, and you know what? They'll let you know what deals are great, what deals are mid, as the kids say, what deals are below average, all through their dot system. The bigger the green dot, the better the rating, the better the deal you're going to get. And you know what? All of their tickets are verified, so you're not buying tickets from some shady dealer, from some shady ticket scalper. All of their tickets are verified. You'll be able to scan it and go in without any kind of problems. And right now, just for you guys, if you use the promo code BITSEASON when you download the SeatGeek app, you'll get $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's right. If you guys want your own personal Jim Van Stone, what you're going to do is you're going to download that SeatGeek app and you're going to type that promo code BITSEASON, all one word, BITSEASON, to get $20 off your first purchase. We'll see you at the game.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive. Bit Season, couple of regular guys. It's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
What's up, biddies? It's Matt Valdez here. It's a special edition of Bit Season episode 121. Why do you say that?
Oh, boy.
It's because D Woods is second mic
today. Let's go. Let's go. I'm back in the place to be. The people wanted it, and I'm back.
You are back, but it is with an absence.
Yes.
Drab got a call from his wife today that she is very ill.
Sure.
And Drab left the office probably 10 minutes ago, probably 10, 15. He was out of here before Lurch was, surprisingly.
Surprisingly.
So we wish Sarah the best.
Yes.
And I know Drab has to go home, basically take care of her, take care of the kids. So
he's a girl dad.
I don't envy him whatsoever.
Can I say that this morning I was literally getting up, preparing myself for work, brushing my teeth, and I get a text, and it just says Valdez, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, because I wasn't listening.
You thought it was show-related.
I thought it was show-related. I was like, what do they need me to call in about? Like, I didn't know if my name was being mentioned or something like that.
This is what we need. We need you to break down the puffy Meek Mill beat. That's what we need you for.
That's what I'm here for to talk about all the allegations against Puffy.
Yeah, we need a Puffy breakdown. No, I needed you an emergency service.
Yes.
You know you're always welcome.
I appreciate it.
But I told you when I need someone to fill in, you're going to be the first person I call.
And what did I say? I said, what time? You said, what time? And I said, I'll move some meetings around. I'll be there.
I know. D Woods had nothing going on today. He just said he wanted to move meetings around just to seem important. I've called D. He was probably at home in his sweats and everything. And he goes, man, I better put on some stuff that looks like I'm working.
I had to wear my badge out. So
D Woods had some fake badge that he wore. And it looked like something you would wear, like, you know, like your school patrol hallway monitor.
So you know what
he had
a
hallway monitor badge on, so it looked like he was going to work.
How do you guys wear your badge? I know we're getting off topic, but I'd normally turn my badge around so people can't see, like, the organization I work with or my picture.
That's weird. I just have a key card.
Okay.
And I just keep it in my wallet.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, I don't have a badge. I used to keep it around my neck, but
right.
Sometimes it would fall off.
Yeah.
But hey, you brought up work, and something that's unique about radio, mm-hmm. and it's a very different than your office jobs.
Yeah.
Very different than your job, D Woods, is just your relationships with your coworkers,
sure.
and with your superiors and with everyone around you. And we saw that today with the back and forth between Drab,
sure.
and we saw that with Eric. Before I, you know what we're going to do is I'm going to call Drab. We're going to call Drab and kind of walk us through the spat he and Eric had,
yes.
Today, not just today, but
yesterday,
but
as well.
Yesterday as well.
Yep.
But I wanted to kind of give my thoughts before we bring Drab on and he defends it.
Okay.
I knew this was going to happen because Drab was talking to me about it like at 5:15 in the morning,
okay.
before the big fight.
Yeah.
And he was like, he wasn't angry, but he was just like laying out all of these points to me.
Mm-hmm.
About why Eric was in the wrong.
Okay.
And honestly, I really didn't, it was kind of out of sight, out of mind, but I knew Eric would be angry just about the response that he got.
Correct.
Not necessarily what he said, but it was the response that I knew would really piss him off.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I was kind of like Team Eric, I guess you could say.
Sure.
I was on his side. Because I thought he prefaced it all by saying
it's gossip,
you know, take it with a grain of salt, you know this is pure speculation.
Yeah.
this is radio people being radio people,
right? We're just trying to be entertaining.
Yeah. That's kind of how I thought it was, and that's how I perceived it when he was saying it. Now I'm as I'm running the board, I'm listening in on every word, so I understand some people may not hear him say gossip, may not understand the tone in it, but Drab brought up the great point about credibility and what it can do to you in the future, how this can harm you whenever mm-hmm. you try to break something in the future. And I completely understood Drab's point to all the way to the point where I was actually kind of Team Drab.
Okay, so you started off with EB being, I get it, we're being entertaining, we're radio guys, he's just, this is content. But then once you and Drab listened to it, kind of filtered out.
Yeah, after we talked about it,
yeah.
and like, I guess after the chirpers, as right. Eric calls them,
yes.
that's when the chirpers kind of got a hold of it.
Right.
It kind of made us look at it in a different context.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that's right, but it's just we look at it through we're in the Junkies universe.
Yep.
And I know how they act, and I know how Eric acts, and I know when there's things that you take seriously, and I know when there's things you don't take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But Drab pointing that out to me is that, you know, by using the Stevie's cousin's friend's daughter's
right.
dog said this, and so I kind of got it, and I like I said, I was on his team, but I knew the storm was brewing the way Drab was talking to me about it.
Okay.
And I didn't tell Drab at the time, but, you know, I said it on air is, Drab, I think you're right, but you have to publicly defend your guy.
Sure.
That's kind of, and I knew that basically by publicly backing Eric and kind of just belittling the chirpers or telling them that they're stupid and anything, that you're just preparing for a journalistic slaughter that's right. coming.
I mean, we heard this in The Godfather. Fredo, you never go against the family again.
Then it's kind of true.
Yes.
It's kind of true. I just think Drab was trying to reason with them, and there could have been a better way to reason everything if Eric didn't tick Drab off.
Yes.
And that's what's really going under the radar here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest. Whose memory are you really trusting?
Oh.
Eric's, who constantly says his brain is mush.
Yeah.
About Drab coming in the studio to give him the green light to go with the story, or Drab's.
Right.
Whose brain are you really sides with?
I was listening to it, and I heard yesterday, you know, Bickle kept saying, I vividly remember, and I go, he doesn't remember anything.
Well, I wasn't in the studio with them when right. that discussion happened.
So you can't say who said what.
I can't say who said what.
Right.
But if you're making me speculate who remembers the conversation better, I'm going with Drab.
Sure.
And both of them were so adamant about it.
Yeah, that was the great thing about it.
And it really seemed like Eric was, and I don't want to use this phrase, but I can't think of anything else, but it was almost like he was dragging him down with him. Like I'm being called, like stupid, and I'm being mocked and everything, and I'm taking you with me
right.
because I needed some sort of big brother or some sort of governor
on what
I wanted to say. You are partly responsible because I'm trying to, you're supposed to have my back,
yeah.
and you're supposed to tell me what's wrong and what's right. You're supposed to keep me out of trouble. And as a producer, that is technically part of our job, is to keep them out of trouble.
Right. So here's the irony I find, and I can wait until we talk to Drab if you want me to tell you whose side I'm on, but.
No, I would like to hear it before Drab.
Okay.
Drab gives
so
his 2 cents.
I actually am 1,000% in agreement with you and Eric in that Drab had no business, and I'm being stern, and just in business per se. If you're on a team, you stand by your teammates. Behind closed doors, right. you go, no, that you from now on, you can't say things like that. But I will say the irony that I found in it is that Bickle wanted to do this story, and no matter whose side you believe, Drab said, okay, it may be interesting, go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. But then once he does it and he sees the reaction, he then wants to say, Drab, well, you should have told me not to do it.
Right.
If there was no
reaction to it that he got,
right.
then all of a sudden it's not, thanks, Drab, for talking me into doing it.
Exactly.
It's I got in trouble. This is my getaway driver.
Right.
Yeah. That's the kind of mentality that he has. Now, Drab, this is what I think Drab should have done, is he should have said, you know what? I did tell you to go ahead and do that. Just go ahead, take the L, right. let him win. But I didn't think you were going to be so stupid when you did it. And Drab has great radio instincts, but that's what he should have said to Eric.
Yes.
He should have said, yes, you said it was gossip and everything like that. But what you didn't do is you didn't repeat it 10,000 times in the story you were telling.
Exactly. And hold on, real quick. Yeah.
And this is what was so upsetting to me about the fight. Is that it was Eric against Drab, and I really didn't think that was the fight whatsoever. The fight is us against the idiots that misinterpret everything and write what they write without any kind of context. That's the fight.
We're on the same side here, because that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. I was going to say, it's not even really about you. I agree with you. Drab should go, listen, preface this a zillion times, not only because for us and our reputation, but because most people are dumb and they don't grasp the very basic use of the English language that we do. So, yes, he said gossip, but then he goes on for 3 segments talking about it. And if every segment you don't say this is gossip,
right.
people take it as the truth.
Right. And they, you can cherry pick anytime you want in the segment, and you're not going to hear Eric preface whatever he's saying by gossip.
Right.
And I get that. And you have to listen to the entirety of the segment to understand the context. But that's the fight. And we shouldn't have a division in our team like that when we're basically fighting the same people.
You're on the same side. That's the point.
And look, I get it. We deal with Nikki Javala more than Eric does.
Right.
And I can understand, you know, not wanting to lose a relationship, not wanting to anger someone else in the media. Just, you know, we got to do our best to be neutral.
Right. But how much, I got a question though. How much of her, do you think her DM and their conversation was more of you guys, and I'm lumping the whole Junks into like a powerhouse within DC sports media.
Her realizing,
like I probably should.
I shouldn't upset the apple cart here. No. I think Nikki's completely in the right.
Right.
And I think partly is, and I told Eric this. I think Eric was in his feels.
Yes.
Because he had a lot of people mocking him, and whatever Eric says, for whatever reason, he thinks everyone's out to mock him. And I vehemently disagree with that. But that's just what Eric thinks. I can't change what he thinks. And Nikki caught Eric at a moment of weakness.
Yeah.
Where I don't think what Nikki said was so
out of line.
Sure. I can see if you think she's being snarky, but she's just poking fun at what you, even you poked the whole point of the segment is that you're poking fun at the fact that you have this quote unquote scoop that's not a scoop whatsoever.
Right.
It's not. It's a nothing burger. It's speculation. She's just doing the same thing, and you got caught up in your feels about it, because you went through your mentions nonstop and you saw people mocking you. You saw people subtweeting you. And then all of a sudden seeing someone who's in the media, by the way, Nikki's in the media, not like the Junks are in the media, but together we are in the media.
Right.
Okay. And then to see her kind of jump ship, and then all of a sudden you see your own producer jump ship. That's when you're going to go off your rock.
Right. Now, I think I'm glad to hear today that he was a little bit more calm, subdued.
He just had to get, he had to get it out.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing is Eric needed someone to lash at.
Right.
And it's almost like the meme where there's the planes and the knives and the bullets over the body. That was Drab.
Right.
Drab was there to take the punishment. And we're going to talk to Drab right here.
Okay.
Drabby.
Yo.
All right. Drab's heading home to be Patch Adams.
Yeah. Mr. Dad.
Mr. Dad. All right.
He was stepping up big.
I told you, I'm always here for you, baby.
Yeah, so Drabby, we're talking about your fight, and I know we wanted to get to it first just because you're on your way home, and we needed at least you to chime in on everything that went down. I was just telling D that I was disappointed almost, because I felt like all of the anger between you and Eric was displaced. I felt like we all should have been mad together at all the dum-dums that couldn't comprehend what Eric was saying with gossip and everything. And that's who we should have been. That's who we should have been mad at together instead of throwing barbs at one another.
Well, but there would be no one to retort that. You know, the chirpers wouldn't be able to say anything back other than online. Not that I didn't have those true feelings about Eric, because I kind of did. And it started the night before when I did see the back and forth online. And I didn't, honestly, when Eric did the segment on air, I didn't think that much of it.
Like, yeah,
when he did the source thing, when he said the source, I thought it was kind of stupid, but.
I know, but that's what I thought. I thought it was like tongue in cheek with the way he was saying it. I didn't think people would all of a sudden think what Eric was saying was gospel.
Yeah.
And then when, like you said, when I saw everyone, I guess, writing about it, talking about it, blogging about it, and then when you convinced me in the morning, I kind of completely understood it.
Maybe I had to sleep on it. So it wasn't like I was like really upset about it or like, oh my God, he screwed this up so bad. But when I saw Hogs Haven do a blog on it, and then it was on Twitter, I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem, because there's no context from what you're listening to on the radio show. Right. You can tell he's kind of being silly.
Yeah, and then
my son's friend, like, yeah. But once you see it in writing, well, that changes everything because you just can't understand the tone of what right. the segment
are you,
was.
Are you, and you're more angry, not, well, I won't say the word angry, but it's, for lack of a better phrase, angry. You're more so angry that Eric didn't realize that this shit storm was coming.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't, I was just chirping Eric a little bit back.
Okay.
Right? Because I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the segment and he keeps trying to drag, he's pulling, taking me down with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly frustrated. He's clearly angry. People are attacking him and he's looking around going like, well, like I always tell you, Valdez, he's trying to spin it around the room. He's trying to point blame now at somebody else. And he keeps saying, oh, Drab told me to talk about
So I have I have a question then. So at what point do you go then, you know what, I probably should have told him this is dumb. We should not talk about it.
Even 3 days later, whatever it is, I don't necessarily hate the fact that we talked about it because I thought it was interesting radio.
Okay.
But my biggest, really probably the whole the complaint about it is in hindsight, and this is definitely in hindsight, he should never have said, I should have told him beforehand, don't say anything about who the source is.
Yeah.
Because that discredits everything and it's going to make you sound goofy.
Like I just heard, I heard this story and then just not say where it is. Hey, I will say we defended you because I wasn't in the room when quote unquote this conversation happened between you and Eric, but I was telling and I was telling D, and I wish I said this on air and I wish you thought of this point with me, is that between you and Eric, whose memory and whose brain am I going to trust in a situation when I'm trying to recall a conversation?
You're going to trust mine.
Exactly.
And
I know.
Today. Here's why it was proven today. Evie couldn't even remember today, 24 hours later. He couldn't remember why I jumped into the conversation. He kept saying I was needling him from the beginning. That's not true. Anybody go back and listen. I'm sitting there listening to him say, Drab, the third time he said, Drab told me to talk about it, I had to say something. I let him get away with it twice. The third time I had to say, Eric, stop saying I told you to talk about it. I never said, go on the air and tell everyone Stevie is your source.
So Drabby, I will say this one thing. Why? Because I don't want you to hear it once Bit Season plays. I will say that. I will say that when Valdez and I were talking about it, I actually agreed with you as well, but never go against the family. All right. And you're not the voice of the Twitter. You're not the voice of the. You're not the voice of the tweeters or whatever they call it.
Tales from the foxy hole.
With each other. Yeah. And you know what? Valdez, you could tell I was annoyed by Valdez's commentary during that segment because he always abandons ship. He never has my back.
I am like the captain of the Titanic. I'm there when the thing goes down.
You gotta go
down,
baby.
I went down with the ship.
No, you're the guy with the slick back hair. What's his name?
Yeah. I'm Fredo.
He's Fredo.
Oh, I forget his name. No. The guy who was the movie with Duke.
So look, Drabby, I do have to ask you another question though. So I do not have Twitter, but you guys know I peruse the Reddit often, right? So on my way in, someone posted a picture of EB just like with his finger pointed. What was going on in your mind when that was happening?
Well, it wasn't as, I know somebody said there was like a huge blow up in the producer room. I think maybe Fish said that. And it kind of was, but as far as like comparing it to other times that it's happened, it wasn't nearly as bad.
Okay.
Eric did get under my skin a little bit on air when he said, Drab's going to go sulk about this for 4 days and not talk. That actually really pissed me off because I don't really care, but
it's what. When Drab fights, it's done and it's over with.
Yeah.
And then he's the type of person that he'll punch you in the face and you're knocked out and then he'll help you up. And then it's all water under the bridge after that. Yeah. Eric definitely is the one who overthinks it.
Right.
After
he thinks it's more than what it actually is.
That's I would say that.
For sure. And with JP, if I fight with JP, maybe there's some of that where it lingers a little bit, but that's just because I'm annoyed and I just need a mental break.
I would rather fight with Eric.
Sure.
Because it will be over in 5 minutes.
Right.
At least for me, it'll be over in 5 minutes. Maybe you'll sulk about it a day.
Right.
But at least Eric will offer an apology, or you'll be friends. The thing is, you're incapable of fighting with JP because JP doesn't have the humility to admit when he's wrong sometimes.
Yeah, and it's never ended. Yeah. Like, the fight never ends. So you just have to remove yourself.
It's like down. Yeah, it's like Family Guy when Peter fights the chicken nonstop.
Yeah.
That's what it is with you and JP, is that there's a nonstop fight about whatever, and you don't even remember what you're fighting about.
Yeah.
So I know. So going to D Woods, going back to the producer room, yeah, in the commercial with EB pointing at me, that actually, like, it was more funny to me. Like, we were definitely yelling at each other, uh-huh, but I could tell that this wasn't, you know, like some big thing where we weren't going to, you know, like, it was going to be a major problem. And Eric, I'll say this I said it kind of on the show today a little bit, but we didn't get that much into it. Eric, and I'm not saying this to Jones, Eric's lip was quivering in the producer room.
So he was pissed.
His lip quivered. He was, when he gets angry,
yeah,
and he gets frustrated, he starts shaking, and like his lip was like out of control, and it curls up under, yeah, his teeth almost.
Yeah, because it's a body fight or flight.
It's
response.
Fight or flight. Correct. Yeah,
it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism.
And I also thought, all these years, I thought he was like a master Joner and a bully. They like love to fight, but when I'm watching his lip shaking back and forth, just out of control, he had cheeky lips. I got uncomfortable because I'm like, oh, this really isn't entertaining or fun to him. Like, he's actually being tortured by this. It was an involuntary reaction.
Yeah.
And the shaky lips made me uncomfortable.
Hey, didn't you call him out on air once for having shaky lips?
It was like
he had shaky hands.
Oh, yeah,
I was too far away and I couldn't see that his shaky lips were probably also happening.
Eric's method of fighting is to outscream you,
yeah,
and basically, have you stare down his finger. Yeah, his finger of death.
Yeah, okay.
That's his fighting method. But I'm tired of fighting with Eric. We've exhausted the fight. We need a fight break.
Ironically enough, you guys every week say you're tired of fighting with the guys, but you continue to fight with the guys.
Well, that's a good observation.
It's like, it's never like, oh, let's get into a big fight here. I just knew that, like, first off, JP was out, right? So there was no, if there's
no pushback.
It's pushback. I'm probably, you know, I'll admit that, like, I can annoy people probably second most on the show, right? Because I'll just say something to get under your skin a little bit, just to tweak you to see kind of how you react.
Right.
And so I just pushed back a little bit on Eric, and he, like, blew his top off about how I'm not standing in line with him against the Viet Cong or whatever. We were just doing a fun radio show.
No. I used that line where I said, I have your back. And then Eric took it and ran with it and was acting like it was platoon.
So hey, Drabby, do you think Valdez was being authentic there, or do you think it was just to show you up?
No. Ironically, Valdez is the one who doesn't have my back.
Who's back? You're in the trenches back there.
Producers first. And it's a nice reminder. It was a reminder that this whole thing, like Valdez says publicly, we stick together. But, oh, I mean, he was just a load of crap.
You know what it was.
Brown noser. He got put in his place when he called EB a liar a couple weeks ago.
I did.
And the little boy's afraid to speak up these days.
You know what it was? It's like when they say when you're getting chased by a bear, just like
I'll run to the other guy.
Trip somebody and let the bear pounce on them. That's what I did to Drabs. I tripped him in front of the grizzly bear.
That's fine. I quickly realized what you were doing. That I was on my own. I was on an island out there, yeah, and it was like, yeah, you know. Whatever.
I know.
It is what it was.
He's no Switzerland, that's for sure.
Drab's just upset that the golf bonding has taken over.
That's what it's all about.
And that
it's an unbreakable bond between them two right now. But you know what, Valdez? I did get there was a DM sent yesterday between Eric, myself, and Valdez, where Eric let us know that Nikki apologized to him.
Yeah.
And also in the DM, Eric said, Drab, I got to give it to you. You do have great radio instinct.
You do.
I know. And then Eric had to qualify it and say, Valdez, you do too.
Oh.
He said, Valdez, don't get upset. You do too. Yeah. I'm just giving Drab props here.
No, I thought
so
both.
I think even in hindsight, Eric knew that it was pretty good radio. Like fights. Yep. As long as it's not too serious and too awkward.
Let me ask you a question. Did you reach out to Eric after the day, like after the fight between, like separately, like just saying, hey, just know all well and good.
Because that fight happened early yesterday, I think at 6:45. And so for the rest of the show after 7 a.m., we were just smoking and joking. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. He did. Eric did offer a truce later in the day.
Yep.
So
I forgot about that.
I generally don't have an issue. Like, that's why he said, oh, Drab's going to sulk for 4 days. That's the part that's eating me alive, because he publicly told people that I'm a powder behind the scenes, and I just don't believe that.
You know, it's if you want to get under Drab's skin, you call him a sulker. Or this really gets Drab pissed off. Say, Drab makes stuff up.
Yeah.
We've been through that. Yeah.
Well, I actually one time on air said that Drab made something up, because I won't say that Drab makes things up, but he's a great exaggerator.
Well, he knows how to tell a story.
He knows how to tell a story. Yes.
I mean, you have to embellish some things in stories.
A little bit.
He's not going to refute it.
Hey, what about EB? EB kept saying Drab is hilarious. How many times did he say Drab is hilarious? Like, he couldn't think about anything else to say, but he said that like one time.
Like, he was so, like, you were doing a bit. Like, he was so shocked by it.
Yes, I knocked him off his chair.
Yeah, I don't think he knew what to say.
Drab's not that funny.
He
didn't even know how to react.
I will say, and this is the narcissist in me, in that if I don't know what to say about something, I'll say that's hysterical, and because it's just a buzzword in my head.
That's your go-to.
That's my go-to to get me to where I'm trying to go to.
Hey, Drab, real quick before we let you go be Mr. Mom and take care of your wife. Drab wants to come back for another segment. I actually think that this whole EB Nikki I actually think it's Eric's not trying to be funny. I actually think Eric doesn't know her last name.
1,000%. He doesn't know his last name.
He doesn't know how to say Javala.
Yes, and for the guy who made his career off, for 10 years, talked about Louis Oosthuizen's name. He screws up people's names on purpose more than anybody.
Right.
Like, or he says it doesn't matter. He doesn't care to learn their name. And yeah, look, it's not any. And it was. I'll be honest. It was. EB said today was funny, and I don't want to get mad at me. I didn't even think that was a great joke, because Nikki Javala has been hearing that people make fun of her entire life,
right.
Since kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like that was Lurch level Jones.
It really was like that. Yeah, it was kindergarten Jones.
It's probably the reason why she took no offense to it. She's probably like, is this the best he can do? I've heard this now for how many years?
He should have joned on like one of her recording errors.
Column or something.
Hey Drabby, before you go, I do want to tell you a quick aside, right? So I got the rundown when I came in. And so, I'm looking at the reads and everything. So I go to Valdez. I said, do you want me to say this part of the read? And he goes, zip it. You're just here. You're just here to assist during the show. Don't
get too comfortable. You're
my male Robin Quivers.
You're done.
You're Rob Quivers today. You're Rob Quivers.
My tilt of the week beforehand.
Okay.
Even with a fight with EB, Valdez's commentary on his health problems is my tilt of the week. Now that the hemorrhoid is healed,
oh my goodness.
Now he's trying to brown nose. Like, I don't know. I don't understand it. He's bragging about his body breaking down, and he's pretending that he's old like the junkie.
He's in his 30s.
He's 35. He's not waking up in the middle of the night to urinate 8 times. It just doesn't happen. He doesn't have like an old man bladder thing. He's just coming up with things to bond to make the junkies like him more. I don't understand it. He's already got the golf thing, the old man golf thing with EB. So, and he knows that, that the junkies get a kick out of anything health related.
Yeah.
So now he's like coming up with body dysmorphia things. He's like
a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
Yeah, like appease the junkies. Like he's running out of content. His content is so dry, he's now on to, I have to urinate multiple times in the middle of the night, guys. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know who he...
My knee, my back, my hemorrhoids, my gray hair. It's never ending.
He's the mother of the woman that just got out of prison. Because of
Gypsy. Gypsy.
Yeah.
I'm Munchausen syndrome.
Yeah. I know what you're doing, Valdez. I just... Yeah. You're playing up to their hypochondria about death and getting old and dying, and you're playing right into it. So you're
like, Drab, if you want to get on the if you want to get on the inside, Drab, why don't you just comment on crime in the city? Then you'll be number one on the totem pole.
Yes.
That's my next ace up my sleeve.
Don't get
play.
Me started there.
just know that I'm on to you.
Okay. All right. Hey, we'll give our. We're going to give our tilts of the week later in the show. Thank you, Drab.
Thanks, Drab.
Was that 15 minutes? It felt really fast.
Yes, it was. It was actually longer. Yeah, I know. Drab was timing himself. All right. Go take care of your wife.
All right.
Bye. All right. Thank you to Drab for calling in. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk about the response Mount Jugmore got.
Okay.
Specifically Sydney Sweeney and why she's in the news. And I need to address a potential podcast feud with our friends over at It Doesn't Matter.
All right.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 121. Before we get into the second half of the show, we got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports D Woods. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. Mike, we need a new shipment. I was looking for one to start the show, and it looks like all of the energy drink vultures are hanging around the studio.
Yeah, I definitely could have used some myself, so please send over a shipment.
Yes. You know what? Get an extra case. That's how we'll pay you today. All right, D Woods. Hey, I wanted to talk about something last week, and it was on Friday's show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you got a chance to hear it.
I listened live.
You listened live.
Yep.
And it got much more of a reaction than I thought it would get.
Okay.
And this was my list of 10 breast rankings.
Yep.
Number one.
This was hard to do, and I actually did. I put a lot of thought into it.
Okay.
And you know what's weird, D, is that I don't even consider myself a boob guy.
Right.
And maybe it's just my commentary on boobs throughout the years have pigeonholed me as the show expert on breasts.
Yeah.
On breasts. But I was amazed. I was amazed at the reaction, both good and bad, that the segment got. I had people over the weekend coming up to me and commenting to my face about the list.
Really?
Yes.
Here's when I knew that it was, again, so I don't have Twitter. I knew it was taken off because, you know, with the 10 to 10,000, I sent over the list to JP.
Yeah.
And JP's response was, getting so much reaction about Mount Jugmore, I'm going to have to wait to put this up.
That was JP's response?
That was JP's response to me.
I was getting omissions. I was getting, oh, you nailed it.
Right.
You know what I'm not getting? I'm not getting women coming up to me and saying, why am I not on the list? I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that reaction. I've also been accused of portraying myself as the boob man.
You never said such a thing.
I never did. I point out to when women have nice breasts.
Sure.
Also, I am eagerly awaiting Drab's lists for lips and Mars' list for quote unquote cheeks.
Yes. So I am rather than the lips, more so than the lips, I should say, I am definitely waiting for Mars' list. I would be interested in where he goes with this. And I think that I could probably trump his list.
But don't you agree? And this was the whole crux of the list is that I couldn't have people on that list that aren't. You know, look, you can find 10 million Instagram chicks with
right.
nice boobs.
Yeah.
But if you don't have any kind of cachet or if you don't have any Q rating, you're immediately off the list.
Yeah. So
also, if you look at the entirety of the list that I don't have. Besides Dolly Parton, because I have to pay homage to one of the great chests of all time.
She's a legacy act.
Yeah, she's a legacy act. I had to put her in there. I didn't want to put her in there, but I, out of respect,
yes,
I put her in there. And I am a little upset.
Okay.
I'm a lot of upset at our friends Othello and Blue Shorts, who host IDM, It Doesn't Matter.
Yeah.
And I went back and I listened to Othello's chirps about my list. And I know that he's releasing his own list in response to my list. But this is what I'm predicting is that his list is going to be filled with porn stars, OnlyFans girls, Instagram models. That's not the whole point of the list.
That takes away from the essence of the list.
Yes.
I get it.
Not everyone is going to know who some 1990s porn star you had some fetish of was.
So I guess the question, and with the people that are chirping, so to speak, and are coming against you,
a lot of chirpers.
So do you think that the issue, you ran into the issue when you put Jessica Rabbit on the list? Do you think that was, I think if I had any gripe, that would be it.
I understand that, but this is what I would tell them.
Sure.
Rolling Stone doesn't get any publicity when they put the Beatles number one.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
When everyone knows that they're the greatest band and everything, they make news. They make news because they put Bob Marley in front of the Rolling Stones.
Right.
That's how you make your butter your bread.
I gotcha. Okay.
But this is how I know that I consider Othello a fellow
connoisseur
yes. of boobs. But this is how I know that I am a tier above Othello. Is that he is not a champion of chest. I am celebrating boobs. I know it's subjective. He doesn't know that. He takes offense to my list. So instead of teaming up together or bouncing ideas off one another.
That's right.
Othello has to create this fake controversy, this fake outrage that his porno chicks from the early 2000s. He doesn't have Carmella Bing or I don't have Carmella Bing on my list or so, whatever.
What is happening within the 106.7 Junkies universe or verse that everybody is going against each other? Everybody's family.
Everyone's infighting with one another. And I know Othello, and this is the point that I think Othello's mad about.
Okay.
In Othello's mind, He is the originator of Busties. Busties. All right. And to be honest with you, he's probably has been the most outspoken person about boobs.
But, okay.
But I have just catapulted myself ahead of him. I've lapped him, and I am known as the boob guy. And now there is some sort of jealousy that Othello has that he wishes that he was the boob guy and not me.
So
his list is gospel like mine was.
So was there ever any thought that to having Othello assist or be a part of the compiling?
No, because it's my list.
Okay.
All right. Because at the end of the day, if there's a disagreement on women,
right.
I'm not hearing his point of view. It's my freaking list.
Yes.
All right.
So,
and just like he can have his list, but I know he's doing his list for all of the wrong reasons.
Right.
He's doing his list out of spite.
Oh.
All right.
Come on. You gotta be better than
and
that.
I know for a fact he's gonna mother F me.
Yeah.
His entire IDM podcast for his list.
That's
a shame because we should be high-fiving about double D's together.
And then I
know what he's going to do.
Okay.
He thinks he is such a master pervert that he's going to leave Sydney Sweeney off of his list.
She's not new to the scene, but she's an up and comer, right?
No, she's established at this point. At this point, she is so established. But I wish Othello contacted me for my top 10 before he commented on my top 4.
Okay.
Because he would see I have the AT&T girl in here. He would see I have Christina Hendricks in here. And I feel like he would have been not as harsh on me if he saw this beforehand.
I agree. The only thing I took issue and umbrage with is the Jessica Rabbit. I actually found the whole conversation back and forth on Friday about Elvira. I thought that was hysterical because I thought that was pretty much what she was known for.
Yes,
other than the dumb commercial, she was known for her boobs. I didn't understand why there was such arguments going on.
And that's why I'm at a master level.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know about number one, but she's top five for sure.
I know. She's great, but yeah. I'm looking forward to Othello's retort. I'm looking forward to Othello's list, and we can compare notes. Here's the thing: I'll have opinions about the list.
Right.
And his 10 or his 4, whatever he's doing. But I am not going to publicly criticize his list.
Yeah.
Because it's, like I said, it's subjective. You know what? He might like itty bitty d's. I don't know.
Right.
But for me, I like massive hangers. All right. With the perfect amount of droop. All right. Natural hangers.
If he wants to be good about this and settle this once and for all, what he would do is he'd invite you on IDM.
I know. I've been invited on. I've contacted them.
Okay.
About the list. I said I might want to defend myself.
Yes.
But they're taping at 9:30 on Friday. I might be in bed.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is my retort.
Okay.
They've texted asking me to come on. I've thought about it, and this is my retort. They can use this audio if they want to reply to this.
Okay.
I'm not trying to get into some sort of boob beef.
Yeah, we don't want to have podcast wars with them.
I don't want to. They get to do things on their podcast that we don't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things.
A lot of things on their podcast that we don't. And I think that gives them the upper hand.
Yes.
Hey, I mentioned Sydney Sweeney, too. And I want to make this clarification.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of boob talk, and yeah. I understand that it's getting annoying and everything, but I just had one more comment about Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
That is just it's annoying me is this constant need to like politicize the most current pop culture du jour.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a you don't realize this, there's a war going on.
Really?
Oh yeah, there's a war.
I'm unaware of that.
There's a war going on over right and left.
Yep.
and claiming Sydney Sweeney. And it's annoying me because she is the most popular thing in Hollywood right now, in media right now.
Uh-huh.
And now there is this huge line in the sand between right and left. Right-winged people are claiming Sydney Sweeney is theirs because she's blonde, natural, and the left is known for beta women, women who have the short haircuts,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So now
newer generation.
So now there is this whole divide between Sydney Sweeney, and she's being pulled in different directions. And I don't like it as a Sydney Sweeney fan.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying.
I appreciate that. I don't like any much being politicized. Actually, but that's
what's annoying. That's kind of what's annoying me, is that we take whatever's popular today's day and age, and we are trying to claim it as our own.
As our own, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't even...
Sydney Sweeney should be there for everyone to enjoy. she's got two of them. Right? We can share. There's two. We can share. All right. Dave, I showed you this video. This didn't come up on the Junkies today, but I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
And I know that you have kids who are, I guess, just graduated college.
Yep.
And you have college-age kids.
Sure.
And this kind of goes along the lines of college. But the city of Miami put out a Twitter video, just kind of like a parody video, in which they are officially breaking up with spring break.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize spring break is started this week.
It starts this week. So I, you know, what's ironic is my youngest daughter goes on spring break next week, and she called me Tuesday and said, well, what time are you picking me up? And she's welcome to come home anytime she wants. And I went, what are you talking about? And she says, oh, I go on spring break next week, so I need to, you know, move some stuff out, come home. I was like, when did this happen? It's getting earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah, I always thought it was around like St. Patrick's
Day.
But Miami released this video in which, I mean, they look, I guess it's actors, quote unquote, actors slash citizens pretending to be citizens,
yeah,
saying that you're basically not welcome.
Right.
And I never thought of, until last year, because I saw all the videos of on the beach, but I never really thought of Miami as like a spring break destination.
Oh, yeah.
When did Miami become a spring break destination?
Oh, man, this has been, I would think around the time that you were in college, because it was right after, I guess, that
when I think of spring break, I do think of Florida, but I think of Daytona,
Tallahassee.
I think of, was it Panama City?
Panama
beach?
City.
I think of there's a Texas beach too. South Padre Island.
Yeah, I don't know
Padre
about that
Island.
One. Yeah, no, Miami's been that way for
Cancun. I've always heard of Cancun.
It's been about a decade, even if not more, that's become a hot spot for.
But I just don't understand. I don't understand the allure of Miami. I think Miami all of a sudden became this spring break destination because it's very easy to get to.
Right. And it's cheap.
Yes. You have a lot of cheap flights into Miami or Fort Lauderdale or wherever. And you can drive in easily. The drive, like I said, probably isn't that bad for a lot of people on the East Coast.
Right.
But I just wouldn't think. When I think of Miami, I just think of like Art Deco. I think of it as an expensive city. I think of it as like kind of like a hip.
It's an all day party city, all day, all night.
Well, now I understand why Miami did that, because I wouldn't want that moniker.
Right. So you gotta think about it. You have the and they had something. I don't know if they still do it now, but they have a thing called DC Takeover, where the old creepers, you know, older guys like my age, they'll go down like during the spring break weeks.
Hold on, what?
It's called DC Takeover.
Oh no, is this people from DC?
From DC, they go down and take over Miami. Like while they're all these different people are down there for spring break, and it becomes, I mean, you can't move down there. You can't move down there during a regular day.
Well, that seems sad for the people that are doing that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So you got to think about it. You have all these old creepers going down just to look at young creep. I mean, you know, youngins, so to speak.
Well, that's a new level of horny I've never heard of. Is that you're going to making a 3-hour flight just to
yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do it. And so it goes back to, I was in, the last time I was in Miami was 2 years ago, and it was not for any of this. You know, I was down there on business, but, and you can't move around in November. So in the middle of March, April, May, it's going to be impossible. I wouldn't, if I was a citizen of the city of Miami or Miami Beach, I would say stay away as well. But I'm getting older. So, you know.
Well, just like when I think of spring break,
yeah.
I don't like, I would never want to go to Miami just seems like a weird place to go to me.
Yeah.
When you say Daytona, all I think about is like beach and drinking.
Right.
Like when you, Miami, there's like a nightlife. I don't want a nightlife. I want to be with my friends.
Oh no, but then.
I actually feel, and after you just mentioned that, I actually feel bad for these kids now that are going down there, and then they have adults that are just
creepers
tracking them,
yeah.
as they go down there.
Yeah, I would never, if either one of my daughters, you know, I have a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old, officially 19-year-old next week in 10 days. If they were to tell me they were going to Miami, I would disown them. I'm like, no, we're not doing it.
Did they go on spring break beforehand?
They do.
Would they go to like a Myrtle Beach or
Myrtle or Cancun, somewhere like that, or the Bahamas?
I would actually feel more. If I was in your position, I'd actually think it'd be safer if I sent my college kids to a resort on Cancun before I have them out and about in Miami.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because I feel, I mean, I understand resorts aren't the safest places in the world and bad things happen at resorts.
Right.
But I feel like at least everything is confined to one area and there's no need to leave the resort. I'm not saying that they end up won't leaving the resort, but at least there's no need to do it.
Yeah. Everything is right there at your fingertips. You can get whatever you want, drinks, hotel, all-inclusive food, all that good stuff. You don't have to really leave, and you can still enjoy yourself.
Spring break was just about getting drunk,
yeah,
and maybe hooking up,
maybe
hooking up.
Always looking, but maybe,
yeah, maybe. like the worst thing that could happen at spring break is like you get crabs now. I guess like there's
like blue crabs.
No, not those, not the silly kind. But now it just seems like you go down there and a lot worse can happen. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's, whatever happened to just drinking and then making a stupid decision, like, what I mean?
You get a drunken
public.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's no like urinating behind a building.
Right.
Now it's fights,
right.
Nonstop fights. Like, I don't know.
No, I agree. I actually agree with the people. I stand with the people of Miami, the city of Miami and Miami Beach.
I don't know. And also Miami, like I said, wouldn't be on the top of my destination list. The only place I ever went to for spring break was, actually, I think Vegas would be a nice spring break place too.
Yeah.
But I guess when you say spring break, people want to go to a beach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also, think about it, these kids have been cooped up wearing North Faces all winter long.
All they want to do is wear.
All I want to do is see some hangers.
Exactly. Yes. Well, since it's bit season and list season, maybe you can come up with the top spring break destinations.
Yeah. We'll do Mount Springmore.
Yes.
Yeah. Right after Drab's lip list, we'll do a Mount Springmore of places that I would go. All right. D, you have a tilt of the week for me.
Yeah, I'm going to be quick because I do actually have meetings the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah, meetings.
Yeah. Okay. So my tilt of the week is EB's paranoia lately. I think that story on Monday with the guy calling in and Bickle thinking that he was following him. And Cakes said something during that whole conversation. Bickle actually said it, but Cakes agreed. How many people take the route that he was saying?
Yeah.
There are thousands of people that take that route every day.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know the guy was a little overzealous and he was trying to get Bickle's attention, but I think you also have to realize you're not the only person in the world that is going from DC to Montgomery County or even where I now live in Howard County. I mean, when I leave here, I'm going to take that same route home. I took that route coming in opposite direction.
And you know, Eric should be flattered too. That some dude, you know, really
was
likes
that,
him.
That was that press to see him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I guess
it is a little weird, but I don't know. It seems kind of weird. Yeah. Not weird, but seems kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. The guy was a little overzealous, but just take it for that, you know, and just say, oh yeah, some creeper was a little overzealous, but at least somebody is pressed enough to wave at me for 15 minutes.
I got two tilts of the week. Okay. One is cakes. Mm-hmm. All right. Cakes, bro, just admit, Jamie Foxx means nothing to you.
Right. Yeah.
I know you want to come across as a good guy. I know nicest junkie. All right. You have that lure about you. But just admit, you wouldn't give two craps if Jamie Foxx passed and you got bequeathed the MGM spot.
I think he wouldn't care, but he didn't want to wish death upon him. So
I guess that is a bad look. Yeah. Well, like we always say, you can't care about people you don't care about.
That is the truth.
And then also my tilt of the week is this whole TJ Maxx Marshalls thing that Eric's doing, especially with golf. Like, I want to shake him, and I want to say, Eric, do you not realize that Golfdom is a big sponsor of this show?
Yeah, you can't say that.
You're telling all of our listeners to go get cheap golf clothes over at TJ Maxx. Golfdom does more than sell drivers and putters and golf balls.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. Why do you think every single time you bring up TJ Maxx, I counter you by saying I get my stuff at Golfdom. Why do you think I do that?
I notice it, and I'm sitting in my car, so I don't get why he doesn't get that.
I don't know. Maybe he's not understanding what I'm saying. But that's my tilt of the week. Thank you so much for coming.
No, thank
in.
You for having me.
I know you got to run.
I appreciate that you guys thought of me when you thought to keep the show going.
I immediately thought of you.
I appreciate it.
Drab didn't because he's racist.
Yeah, and by the way, since he's not online, I know Drab thinks that I love you more than I love him.
Well, you do.
I love you guys.
I saw D Woods in the lobby, and I made him laugh. I swear to God, it was the hardest laugh I ever got in my life. I don't think I can repeat it on air, but I know how to tickle.
You do. You get my tickle button going. Pause, as the kids say nowadays.
Cap. All right, D, thank you so much. I know you got to go to work.
Yep.
I got to do some live reads.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Drab, for calling in. And we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.